You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good luck with the most beautiful game. Do us proud.
Red alert! They're up and running again. So sweet, splendid, succinct, just glorious execution.
Guys, all I'm looking for is 60% effort, 4,000% of the time.
How sharp was that? Sharp of mind and body.
And that's why you see those beautiful tears.
Look at his movements. The most dangerous man on the planet, nobody picks him up.
Wide-eyed, thrilled, bemused. How on earth did that happen?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Wonder Goal, the soccer betting podcast from the Action Network. My name is Michael Leboff, and joining me is Anthony DeBundo. BJ is still in Las Vegas, and BJ, we mean this from the bottom of our heart. We hope that you do so well out there in Sin City that you don't have to keep hosting this podcast and you just retire. But in the meantime, Anthony and I will be breaking down this week's four Champions League quarterfinal matches coming your way. We'll start with Arsenal and Bayern. Obviously, Arsenal caught a huge break in the league over the weekend with Manchester United earning a draw against Liverpool. And now they have a pretty quick turnaround to take on Bayern, a team that is in uncharted territory for this group, for this mob. They are out of it in the Bundesliga. The Bayer Leverkusen is going to coast to a title to end their, 10 or 11 year reign for Bayern, is it now? I've lost count. So their sole focus will be on the Champions League. And they are traveling to the Emirates as a plus 350 underdog on the three-way line. They are plus 130 to advance. Arsenal is minus 130 on the three-way line. They're minus 160 to advance. The draw in 90 minutes here is 3-1. Anthony, you've been talking about Arsenal as a buy in the Champions League for a few weeks now, so I'm assuming you're going to be riding with your Gunners here.
I am, yes. The market has moved heavily toward Arsenal. This opened when the lines came out. We got the draw three weeks ago now, and I was looking at it. I was like, we're hitting Arsenal pretty hard, and we're going to hit another team pretty hard based on where I think the market's going to open. And the market opened Arsenal at minus 115 to advance. Didn't agree with it then, and the market has moved pretty solidly toward Arsenal. Now, there have been some Bayern injuries and some poor performances. Shout out to anybody who had Heidenheim with us over the weekend. Should have put them in the parlay because we didn't hit any of those either. But Bayern didn't even have a performance that was worthy of a team that cared. So I'm not really sure I'm going to dock them for what happened on Saturday. I mean, it was pretty lifeless, and they were up 2-0 and then kind of fell asleep and let Heidenheim back into the match. But this is not a new trend for Bayern away from home, because they have played four away matches in the Champions League this season. They have three wins and a loss, but the performances have been pretty mediocre. And if you remember back in November and December when we had these conversations, I was like, this is weird, because we're seeing Bayern dominate the Bundesliga like they haven't before in terms of underlying XG. And yet we're seeing them go in Europe and just struggle in a group that, like, we didn't really think was that good. So they were in a group with Man United, Copenhagen, Galatasaray. Not a tough group. United, we don't think much of them. Copenhagen got waxed by City over two legs. Galatasaray, a team we like to advance, mostly because of the group they got. But they played four matches. They beat Copenhagen 2-1, but were held under one expected goal. Musiala hit a banger worldie to win 2-1 late. They had 0.9 XG. They played Galatasaray. They beat them 3-1, but they were outshot badly in the game. They conceded 2.7 XG. They only had 1.9 of their own. They scored two late goals to win that one. And then United, they beat on the final day 1.2 XG against a United defense that's quite poor. They go on the road to Lazio in the first match of the knockout round. 1.1 XG 4, give up 1.6, lose 1-0, come back and throttle them at home. But Lazio, a team, again, who is mid-table in Italy. So they have played a bunch of mediocre to meh teams in the Champions League this year. and have not had a single performance except for the second leg against Lazio, where I was like, yes, that is the Bayern we expect. And now, Coman, Sané, and Neuer all unlikely to play. Huge losses. Puts a lot of pressure on Gnabry, who's been in and out of fitness himself. In those four away matches, they've conceded more expected goals than they created. And, you know, I think it's interesting that Arsenal struggled against Porto, but I'm kind of curious what you thought of that and if maybe we should just throw that out because of how dominant they've been in the league. Because it is interesting to me that they went into the Champions League and, I mean, went to penalties, almost went out of this tournament.
Yeah, I actually was going to bring this up. I do think it's interesting. I think that this is a team that is, for lack of a better word, very rhythm-based Arsenal. Like, it feels like they are a team that, and it doesn't, it shouldn't be surprising because of where Pep, Arteta comes from, et cetera. Like, they just want things on their terms. And I feel like when things aren't going their way, I can get like a little tight, maybe is the best word way to put it. That said, I don't think that Bayern is going to go out there and play that kind of script that we saw from Porto against Arsenal at all. I think that this should end up being, I feel like, a pretty interesting watch. Like, I think Bayern, you want to talk about throwing something out, I'm happy to throw out basically the last month of results outside of the Champions League from Bayern because it's been done. They've been feuding with the manager in the Bundesliga. So I think that this is a team that's focused here just on the Champions League. I do think with the market movement, they're becoming a little bit more interesting. I don't think it's going to stop either. I don't really see them. I don't think people with the injury news coming out looking to rush to bet Bayern. And I think it comes down to can they find a way to breach this Arsenal defense and get this game to be a little bit more helter-skelter than Arsenal wants. And I actually don't think it's all that crazy. This is going to be the biggest, you know, European match that this team's face, or yep, you know, in terms of how do we want to play? Like, in terms of limelight, like, this is an Arsenal team that still is getting its legs under him in that regard. Like, it's not an all that experienced side. This Bayern team is obviously pretty long in the tooth in that regard. So I think that there are some intangible aspects that maybe make you want to nudge towards Bayern. That said, it's not, I don't know if it's all that appealing yet, like the number. I'd be closer to bet Bayern at this point than on the three-way line than Arsenal. The two advance line I don't think is appetizing at all on Bayern Munich. I don't know. Arsenal is they keep winning me over, I think, more and more every week in the Premier League. And then it's that one performance against Porto, or I guess the two legs, right, that are kind of shaking everybody up a bit. I think it comes down to that. Like, if you're putting some weight into maybe this team just isn't built to do the quick turnaround games that they need there, you know, it's one thing to crush like Luton or Wolves on short rest, but like to do it against Bayern gets a little trickier. So if you're looking at stuff like that, I can understand you trying to pull us towards Bayern. I'm going to probably sit this one out, though. Like I said, it would be Bayern or nothing. And tip of the cap to anyone who bet Arsenal early.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I've had a thought on this. You're right about the rhythm thing. Like, Porto is very good in their low block and like made it very difficult for Arsenal. There just aren't that many low blocks in the Prem this year that are any good. Right. And it is a very different matchup than the one you're going to see from Bayern, who's going to want more of the ball. Both managers want control. I kind of think that lends to the under. Champions League first leg unders. I'm going to say this once off the top because it should undertone every conversation we have about these matchups. 28-7-1 to the under. 80% first leg unders since they abolished the away goal rule in the first leg in 2021-2022. So there's been a noticeable difference in how these teams have approached them. Second legs, the under is actually still slightly profitable, but it's pretty close to 50-50. So in the first round of this Champions League matchup, there was one game that went over. It should kind of give you a perspective. Arsenal-Porto 1-0, even Bayern-Lazio 1-0. This, to me, like, I think as Arsenal continues to get bet out, I think you're going to see them continue to take money because they have taken money in each of their last two matches against Porto. And the market went pretty hard against Bayern in its first match against Lazio as well. Like, there is some market, real market downgrade on Bayern, and it's not just in the Bundesliga. It is also leaking into their Champions League performances too. So I think that is meaningful. I think when you consider Arsenal's defense being as elite as it is, they weren't as dominant away from home against Porto, but then Porto comes home and they had nothing. So you're going to hear a lot about like, oh, Harry Kane loves a goal against Arsenal, and Harry Kane this against Arsenal. I just don't really think this Bayern team is that good at a possession, and I don't think they're going to be able to take advantage of Arsenal in those areas. And if you go back and look, like, City, Bayern was not competitive last year. And this is a largely same Bayern team with Kane on top now. So are we, and everybody's kind of a year, they kind of just ran it back around Kane, and it doesn't seem to me that they're any better out of possession. So where does Bayern have the edge here?
Yeah.
Harry Kane is probably the only answer. It's like, oh, Harry Kane does something crazy because he's a world-class player, and on the other side, eh.
Yeah. It's that classic conundrum where if you took Bayern's season-long like statistical profile and covered up the name Bayern and slapped Villarreal over it, you'd be like, wow, this line's going to be long, right? You know, it's, I think they're probably getting, and I mean, they deserve some respect, right? Like, I mean, they're still Bayern and have good teams, but I think that, that's why I think that the line still has a little bit of room to grow here. So
how many players from Bayern make it into the first team? So Neuer's out, so he doesn't count. So Kane, Musiala.
Musiala.
Might be it.
Yeah.
Depending on like what you think of the left backs. Like I'd probably take Alphonso Davies over anybody Arsenal had. So three players.
Yeah.
Kimmich is interesting to me, maybe. So maybe four, but pretty clearly Arsenal otherwise. So especially in the midfield. So yeah, I mean, I'm really down this Bayern team, and we've been sounding alarm bells about them and saying, oh, they'll probably be fine in Germany, but it's very clearly not the case anymore. And I think the market's going to keep running. I think Arsenal may be laying a goal by the time this is over. And honestly, I don't necessarily disagree with it. I have Arsenal. So when we first ran these numbers, I had Arsenal -130 first leg. But since upgrading Arsenal a little bit, Bayern's taking a hit because they keep losing in Germany. This is closer to -160 for me.
Yeah.
So I'm 130. I don't mind Arsenal in the first leg either. And BJ's writing the preview, so he's going to wax poetically. And you can read his preview if you want his thoughts. Although I can imagine where he might lean on this match.
Yeah, maybe BJ's got something up his sleeve for us. I think the next match, it's going to sound crazy. I think it's the most compelling match on the board of the four. And when you hear the bet that I'm going to stump for, it's going to make no sense. But it's Real Madrid there, +195 on the three-way line at home. City's traveling is a +145 favorite. The draw at +245. City is the biggest favorite to advance on the board right now. They're -215. Real Madrid +170. I do think if you have some interest in betting Real Madrid on the three-way line, you might as well take some to advance as well. But I like the nil-nil here. I like the under here. I think that this, you talked about that trend already. We don't need to go into it. This match feels like it's going to be two teams just turning out the lights. Like I don't think that either side would be mad with this thing going back to the Etihad 1-0 either direction. I don't think either side would be too fussed about it being 0-0. I just think they're both going to want to. Ancelotti's shown and that he's a master at kind of big picturing these tournaments, like making sure that you're keeping both legs and the entire tournament kind of in the scope of your vision as you play these matches. And that is what I'm looking at here. And plus you got City, they're playing a ton of soccer, very high stakes soccer over the past few weeks. Now this short turnaround, they go from playing Aston Villa, they come back to win that one, going away over the weekend. Crystal Palace. They played Villa, then they had to come back, beat Crystal Palace over the weekend. They end up kind of putting it into cruise control late, but that game was a little more helter skelter than we thought it was going to end up being. Now they have to make the quick trip to Spain, and I don't think that we're going to see either side try to shift out of third gear at all. You know, like this isn't a game that I think is going to, two huge names in terms of like the weight of the clubs, two of the best clubs in the world. You got the most successful team in the European competitions in Real Madrid. You've got the best team in the world at City, and I think that this thing has a decent chance of ending 0-0.
Yeah, I agree. I like under 2.5. I think draw's good, too. There's been a noticeable improvement in Real Madrid's defensive metrics second half of the season. We talked about them in the fall. I think we faded them a bunch. We were saying every competent... I remember saying the line, like, every competent team they play gets to 1.5 XG against them. That's no longer the case. First half of the season until January 1, this is La Liga only, they were giving up 1.1 XGA per match, which is not good for Real Madrid, really. It's much worse than they normally sit. It's like a 40-45 goal pace. That's not title-winning defense. Since then, 0.8 XG per match. Part of me, you know, they have started to work Camavinga in the midfield more. Tchouameni's gotten more minutes. They've played less Modric and Kroos. I think that has helped their defense. And the funniest part is that it's come during this injury crisis where they have barely had enough center backs fit for all these matches. So they have struggled with injuries and yet played better. Tchouameni's played a lot of minutes at center back really well too. So they have found something that works defensively. And I think Pep has seen enough of Real Madrid, you know, on the break. I mean, these teams play every year. And the first leg last year was really instructive because Pep didn't take any chances whatsoever. If you pull up touches in the opposition penalty area last season for City, and you line up every match they played in a treble winning season, their three lowest games were Bayern Munich away, which they were already up 3-0 on aggregate. Makes sense. Okay, we'll say whatever. Copenhagen away, they got like a red card in the 8th minute. It was already a dead rubber, so they didn't really do much in that game. The Champions League final against Inter, which, by the way, credit to Inter, that was a masterful game from them, and whatever. The fourth game, Real Madrid, 19 box touches. So every Premier League game they played last year, more. Every meaningful game against Bayern, the second leg against Real Madrid was overwhelming. The Dortmund, everybody they played in the group stage, Arsenal, Liverpool, regardless of who they played, Arsenal were the two lowest in the Prem. Every meaningful non-dead rubber they played, Real Madrid and Inter were the two best teams in those legs, keeping them out of the penalty area. And I think it kind of gets to the point, what do we know about those two matches? It's Guardiola playing not to lose. And the result of that is they just don't play to win. And I don't think they need to win this match. I think they're going to be just fine taking 1-1 back to Madrid or to Manchester. They're going to be laying minus 155, 160. Hopefully the markets open it short again like last year. I think they throttle them in Manchester. And I think that they move on here. But in terms of the two advance market, we're getting to a point now where Arsenal might be a bigger favorite and Atletico might be a bigger favorite to advance in their matchups because the market just keeps steaming towards them and against these German teams compared to Real Madrid, who, you know, second leg, if we're getting a full goal, it's going to be really interesting to think about that matchup because I do think City like can and will throttle them. But if Madrid gets up there in price, like it's going to get interesting if I'm going to have to play back against what I think is going to happen just because the number gets so insane. Because this Real Madrid team with a real competent defense is a lot more interesting to me than like last year's team who was total smoke and mirrors and then just got punished. And even 2 years ago, they won the tournament, but they like...
You can't call a team that won a tournament smoke and mirrors.
That whole team...
You won a tournament. Football, it doesn't matter.
Courtois was a hero for sure.
Yeah, they won
but
the
they
tournament.
They were smoke and mirrors. Everybody knows. They were down two goals in like every match they end up coming back to win.
Yeah, but they won. You know, that's what matters.
That's smoke and mirrors. You can win things.
That's what matters. All that matters is that you win.
Yeah.
In the end.
So interest in Real Madrid for me, and not in the market necessarily, but if they got up to like 2-1, I think I would consider it to do it to advance. That is
the 0-0 is 13-1. That's going to be something I'm not.
I mean, you know, the reason that first legs are the way they are is if you look at like scoring in a soccer match, it trends exponentially up as the match goes on, right? Teams take more chances. Well, if you just lop off the last 15 minutes because they know there's another 90 coming,
right.
That's where it gets interesting. So I think people are always like, oh, first half under. I actually kind of think it's the opposite in the situation where you want that second half under because the market's going to, I mean, the market knows to an extent, but the market's going to say, hey, like, let's say it's 1-1 at half. you're going to get a really good number on under 3.5 for the game, probably plus money. And like, there's just not going to be a ton of chance taking from either team in the second half of that situation. So, and, you know, the exceptions to that are like, if somebody goes up 2, then, you know, the calculus changes. But with Real Madrid's defense being improved and City not taking any chances with the first leg here, like, this is under 2.5 plus 115 for me all day long.
Okay, that does it for Tuesday. Before we get to Wednesday, a reminder that Wondergoal is proudly presented by Bet365, and Bet365 doesn't do ordinary. That's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. Bet365 boosts specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. Keep an eye out for their biggest and best odds with the incredible Super Boost. Check out the boost and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. You must be 21 or older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, North Carolina, New Jersey, Ohio, and Virginia, or 18 and older in Kentucky. If you have a gambling problem or know somebody who does and wants help, please call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Wednesday, PSG and Barcelona to kick it off. This one in Paris. PSG is an even money favorite on the three-way line. Barcelona plus 260. The draw is plus 280. To advance, PSG a slight favorite. This is the tightest of them all for the quarterfinals. PSG is minus 130. The Barcelona, the Catalans, are plus 105 to advance. This is kind of... I've got nothing here. I think this is really hard. I think you can make a pretty salient argument to go against PSG. Do they create enough to be this big a favorite? I don't know. So I would lean towards Barcelona. I think it's tough though. This is like one of those matches where I feel like whatever I bet will end up being the wrong side. So I have a bet in the other match, and I'm happy to keep it to one on each day. What about you?
So the injury situation for Barca is the biggest question here, because Pedri, Christensen, De Jong are all listed as questionable. Now, if you read, it's like, oh, they're expecting him to be fit, but like that could also be a head fake. So this is a match for me where if Pedri and De Jong are in the midfield for Barcelona, I don't think there's a meaningful difference between the two teams whatsoever, and I think Barca is a live dog, and I think I'm going to bet them plus a half for sure. Because when they're not on the pitch, Barca has no ability to control matches, and they get very end-to-end transitional. Now, it could be different in this sense because it's a first leg, and so you might see some more feeling out, more possession from each team. They kind of just nullify each other. Again, I'm okay with that if I have the dog. But here's the thing. If it gets into an end-to-end matchup, I just think that Mbappe is such the difference maker for PSG, and just in this matchup, like very clearly the best player on the pitch, that it tilts everything. And so this for me is a great live betting game. You can see within 10 minutes, how much is PSG able to get Mbappe into space? How much of the match is transitional where, oh, look, PSG runs and there's nobody within 20 yards of the player as he's making his run through the midfield, ball carrying it forward? Or are they constantly able to find the ball out against Barcelona's press to Mbappe? Because if they are, this could get really ugly for Barca. Like, they could get smoked, and it wouldn't shock me. But again, I think most of the game states this match plays out in, especially being a first leg, it ends up in more of a condensed space, and I think that favors Barca. I don't trust PSG. They've played so mediocre-ish in a lot of their league matches and kind of snuck results on talent. But, like, the profile's not that good. And Barca can keep the ball, and that's one thing PSG has struggled with. If you can have a ton of possession against Enrique, his teams are not that comfortable. So I think there's more paths to me betting Barca here. But again, I'm waiting on injury news, because if they have to start like this makeshift midfield, I don't want to bet Barca on the road in the Champions League. So that's kind of where I come down on this, lean to the under just generically. This is the one match I think that could, and I would most likely bet the over. I just don't really want to, because of you're going against a trend that I think is real and significant because of how the rules have changed. And I don't, you'd expect the market to have adjusted to it by now, but it's not seemingly been the case. And my numbers say it really isn't the case in this matchup either. So I think the dog is live, but I'm waiting on injury reports. So it might be Barca for me. PSG is the favorite to make the final, which is kind of wild. given that like this is supposed to be a transitional year, and I know I have a ticket on them, but I don't know. If Barca's healthy, I kind of think they're a true coin flip here. So if you can get Barca plus to advance once the news comes out that they're going to have their best guys for the best midfielders for the, both legs, I'm in on Barca. Buy low Barca, back.
Buy low Barca. Okay. I feel like as these matches have kind of gone on, or as these discussions have gone on, I feel like we have a pretty decent idea of how these matches will play out, like the kind of paths that they can wander down. This last one, I think it's got chaos written all over it. I think this thing could be a ton of fun. The atmosphere will definitely be awesome, as it always is, for Los Colchoneros, Atletico Madrid. They're minus 125 on the three-way line at home against Borussia Dortmund, coming in at plus 370 right now, and the draw plus 270 to advance. Atleti minus 170, Dortmund plus 135. As it's been for 2, maybe 3 years, Atletico Madrid's form is kind of just scattershot. Like, it's always all over the place lately. It's good enough that for them to always hang around the top three or four in La Liga. Beyond that, it's inconsistent for a team that's always in playing Champions League. Dortmund's form, also, you know, who the hell knows what's going on there? They go on a great run through the month of March. They beat Bayern. Then they kind of just get unlucky in a 1-0 loss to Stuttgart over the weekend. But their form has been, you know, ups and down and ups and down all season. We were talking about how this is the team that, in that group of death with PSG, Newcastle, and AC Milan, probably was the most likely to finish last in our mind. And here they are. And these two teams catch a huge break in the draw. They are the two teams I think everybody in a right frame of mind would have as 7 and 8 power rating. In this pool, they end up playing each other. That's the beauty of tournament football. And I got no idea how this match goes. And I think that actually is good for the home team here. Like, I think Atletico Madrid has the makeup, they're clinical. They should be clinical. They got our boy Morata. Think that this price is okay to lay here at home, minus 125 against a Dortmund team that, like, clear 8th best team in the field?
Clear, yeah, for me. Not even close. This should be Inter. This should be PSV. I mean, one of the heartbreaking days of my entire year was betting year, and just that Wednesday afternoon when Inter's up 2-0 on aggregate and they just give one right back, and then their defense. I mean, it was just such a melt, and really a shame, because Inter would have been the clear favorite for me to make the final from this side, over Barca, over PSG, over Dortmund, or over PSV. And then PSV, I mean, how many times did Luke de Jong get in behind this defense and miss sitters? They won the XG over two legs, and then, you know, concede late to go out. But it was, well, to confirm going out, they were heading out anyway. But over the two legs, like, this is a Dortmund team that was pretty even with PSV. It's a Dortmund team that, yeah, they won Der Klassiker at Bayern, probably the least impactful Der Klassiker win they're ever going to have. And they didn't even really control it. I mean, it was XG was over two for Bayern to like 0.8 for Dortmund. And then, yeah, they were better than Stuttgart on XG, but so much of their XG was racked up in the final 8 minutes when they were already down. They had like 3 or 4 sitters they should have scored to tie the game, but they were never better in the first hour. So I kind of don't really find this Dortmund team to be all that appealing as a dog. I think that Atleti is live. The thing that's always scary, though, is now it's like, okay, we've seen Simeone do the dog roll 100 times. This new attack they have with Griezmann, Depay, and Morata, and so many more options that can actually score goals.
Yep.
Do we trust them more as a favorite? Because I know the minute I bet them now, it's going to be like, oh, you know, they come out and they 1-1 draw it. They don't care.
They'll go down 1-0 in like the 6th minute on a penalty or something.
And then you're drawing dead.
Yeah.
So, or are you? I mean, you know, the attack is better, but generally speaking, you're drawing dead for that money line ticket. So I do like Atleti here. I played them to advance. This is the other one. Arsenal and Atleti have taken a ton of money in the market. Atleti opened like minus 125-ish to advance. They're up to you know, -165/-170 now. I would almost rather lay the juice on the two legs because I trust them that much more than I would to lay the money line as a favorite in the first leg. Because I think if this comes down to it, they need to get a tie or they need to grind it out against Dortmund late or they need to hit Dortmund on the break in front of the, you know, the yellow wall. I almost trust them more in that role still, right? So I'd almost rather lay the 160 and obviously like it's a bigger number, but I'd rather lay that than lay the, you know, -125. But again, if you want action that's going to settle on Wednesday, I think Atleti's good. I just don't really think this Dortmund team is worth a damn away from home. Their defense is so bad. Like even so the PSV match, they give up 3.3 XG over two legs. And even their road games, like they go to Werder Bremen, they go to Union, they give up 1.3 to Hoffenheim, 1.2 to Union, 1.8 to Werder Bremen, 1.8 to Wolfsburg. Anybody can score on this team. They're just that bad defensively. So, I mean, Atleti has the talent, and I think they're better on both sides almost.
Okay, so hell freezing over a bit on this podcast with you backing Diego Simeone.
Hey, what was your ticket again? Did I
first
make fun
time.
Of?
First time.
Like 30 to 1?
It was, I think it was 28 to 1. I gotta look. But I also had I have one parlayed with an Australian Football League team as well. Oh, so,
the
yeah,
team
you got
none of us have ever heard of.
Yeah.
But you'll find a guy at the U.S. Open when we go this year wearing a hat who's got the team.
Yes, yes. That's it. That was the craziest. That was the Adelaide Crows, who had just lost in one of the most bizarre VAR decisions ever, where essentially a ball went through an upright for a field goal, and the VAR said, no, inconclusive, and it cost them a chance to go to the playoffs. So there you go. Okay, I will. I just want to read out the outright odds before we move on to your bets for the Europa and Europa Conference League and see if there's just anything that sticks out. I think that the thing that sticks out here is the price on Dortmund compared to everybody else. But City is the favorite. They are clear favorites at +187. Arsenal is second favorite, 5-1. That's not too far off from where you were stumping for them too. So perhaps you still think there's value there. Real Madrid, 6-1. Bayern is 7. PSG is 8-1. Barcelona, 10-1. Los Colchoneros, our boy Diego Simeone and Atletico Madrid, they are 12-1. Dortmund, 25-1. Anything real quick here that jumps out?
Yeah, I mean, it's still Arsenal for me.
Okay.
In a two-legged, we just watched Guardiola and Arteta play two matches this year that, I mean, broke football. No team got to 1xG in either match. So if they play in the Champions League over two legs in April in the semifinal, which I do think is going to happen. Like I said, I like Arsenal. I think I gave them out 6 or 7-1 on this pod. They're my team in the Champions League that I've been backing. What is the gap in a two-legged tie? Because over 38 in the Premier League and in my power ratings, like, yes, I still think City is the better team because they have more attacking firepower. But over two legs, where both managers are so paranoid about losing and conceding anything that neither ends up happening, is that not like almost a coin flip? And so if Arsenal is priced about the same, maybe a little worse, to beat Bayern as City is to beat Madrid, and then we think it's going to be like kind of a coin flip in the semis, and then whoever wins that is the favorite in the final,
right,
by a wide margin, how is it that this price between City and Arsenal is so different? +160 versus 5-1, that's 20% implied odds. I don't really agree with that. So I still think the best bet on the board is Arsenal. On the other side, it's probably Atleti. But again, it's of course correlated to the two strongest positions I have in this round, which are that Arsenal is going to whip Bayern and Atleti is going to beat Dortmund. So I naturally think that those two teams are interesting to me. But yeah, Atleti, I just don't think their defense can hold up in a final. That's it's kind of funny that we're saying this about Atleti, but like if they made a final, you know, obviously 28-1, great ticket. But at 12-1, it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna be a big dog in the final to City or Arsenal. Arsenal will be interesting, but like City, kind of think would just break down this defense and win. But you never know. It's one match, right? That's the beauty of it.
Exactly, and you know that the dark arts will be out in full force for Simeone. Okay, so. Yeah, the thing that jumped out to me was Dortmund just tells you the gap between Dortmund and the rest of the field that they're double.
Yeah, if Dortmund got PSG in the semis, like they got smoked by PSG in both meetings.
Yeah.
So how competitive are they in this one? I don't think they're that good.
Okay, on to Europa League. Any best bets here?
Some really fun ones, honestly. Our Atalanta ticket, you know, the one team I didn't want, we get. That sucks. Didn't want Liverpool. We got them. You know, I think that they're catching a goal and a half at Anfield. It's a little high for me. I have like a goal and a quarter. You know, how much worse is this Atalanta team than like Chelsea, who just went to Liverpool and got a goal? So I kind of think that Atalanta is interesting as a dog, but I'm much more interested in backing them at home in a week. So I'm hoping that it's like 2-1 and then I can get plus three quarters at home. And we're going to hammer time Atalanta at home against Liverpool because, look, I know everybody's going crazy about today's result where Liverpool kind of tweaked their approach. They didn't go as aggressive as they were in the FA Cup. They went a little more not as press heavy tonight, Sunday, that is. And they dominated the first half. But then they kind of still gave up a ton of transition looks in the second half, as they kind of reverted back to it a little bit. And I just think this Liverpool team away from home right now is a little bit dicey. So I don't think they're as good as the market thinks away from home. So I'm going to pass on Atalanta this week. Look to play them next week. Milan-Roma. I think Roma's marginally better. And I think Roma's a plus a half dog. It's the situation where I would take the plus a half on either side. So I may even come back on Milan next week, but in the first leg, I'm betting Roma plus a half, minus 115, minus 120 against Milan. Trust Roma's defense way more and think this Milan defense has a lot of flaws. So that's where I come down on this matchup. Even though, you know, Milan's second in the table, Roma's in fifth. Don't think there's a huge gap between the two teams. And then that's it for me from official plays. I want to dig more into Leverkusen and West Ham, because this one screams first leg under to me, but the West Ham defense is so bad that it could be a bit of an issue. Leverkusen is at their best in Germany when teams in Germany like to press. They come after them and they're good enough in possession. They can find the wing back on the outlets. They just tear apart presses. Well, you're facing West Ham. You're not going to get a press. You're not going to get anything. You're going to sit deep and say, good luck breaking us down. And Frimpong and especially is so good at getting in behind on the one side. Grimaldo comes in late. Like, they have really dominated wide areas this year, but that's just going to result in a lot of crosses. And I don't really know that the numbers, like, we're going to get there against this Leverkusen team with West Ham sitting deep. I don't know that there's going to be enough for Leverkusen to get to this total. So I like the under there a little bit in the first leg. And then Benfica Marseille, kind of uninterested in both teams. So I'm passing there on that one, but excited to get into Europa League. Beach and I are going to do a split column. We're going to break down each of the matches a little bit, so we'll have some analysis on that in the app probably Wednesday. And then Conference League, of course, Lille on my ticket there, which I was loving. We also got the toughest team left in the draw in Aston Villa, but Lille's very good in possession. They're very comfortable having the ball, playing the ball, and using their pace in behind, which, if you've listened to our Premier League shows, you know Aston Villa has struggled against teams who have good ball-playing players in the middle of the park who can send balls in behind and use pace to exploit their very mediocre and continually getting worse defense. I think Villa is a corpse right now defensively, and I think they're worth fading. I like Lille plus 125 to get a result in the first leg. I think they're, I mean, certainly alive to advance.
Okay, that'll do it for us. We'll be back on Thursday morning to preview another weekend of Premier League matches and take us down the stretch here. It's basically every week, Sunday, Wednesday recordings for us until we get a little bit of a break and then right into the Euros. We'll have more on that, as I keep saying, as we get closer to the tournament. But until then...
Can you believe it's only 6 weeks left until the Premier League season is over?
Yeah.
May 19th. We are 6 weeks away. Crazy.
Yeah. It's great. It's should be a good stretch run. I'm just happy that Everton has won for the first time since December 16th. Made it a little bit easier. But hey, I'm expecting to wake up one morning this week with another points deduction. So we'll see how that goes. But that is stuff for the midweek show. We'll be back then. Best of luck with your bets on Tuesday and Wednesday in the Champions League. And hopefully, BJ, you're doing well on the tables, man. Action.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.